Let us pray. Living God, help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Listen to the word of God. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
So good to be with all of you to explore these unwrapped and now revealed gifts of Advent, going from love to challenge. And I found out as I was studying this text from 2 Peter, this is an awfully challenging text. So we'll see what we can find in here. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 15a. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Don't let it escape your notice, dear friends, that with the Lord a single day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a single day. The Lord isn't slow to keep his promise, as some think of slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to change their hearts and their lives. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, and on that day the heavens will pass away with a dreadful noise, the elements will be consumed by fire, and the earth and all the works done on it will be exposed. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? You must live holy and godly lives, waiting for and hastening the coming of God. Because of that day, the heavens will be destroyed by fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found by God in peace, pure and faultless. Consider the patience of our Lord, to be our salvation. The word of the Lord. Reflecting on challenges in my own life and how we all face challenges this week, thinking about these rocks, I started thinking about all the people who have helped me through those times, those difficult trials. And I thought a little bit about my early years in ministry when I was just starting off in the pastorate, how often I looked for a retired pastor to help me out, someone like Steve Brown down here. I looked for those retired ministers, or Dick Haynes, or other folks. I don't want to name you all. There's too many of you, right? I looked for those retired pastors because I knew they'd gone through it before, right? They had served the ministry and had all those years in serving churches, so they must have some secret to survival and how they did all this. How did they do pastoral ministry? Good people. I think it's important that when you're facing a challenge, you start to rely on those people who have gone before you, who have something to share with you. And so over a cup of coffee or out for a walk or over breakfast, I would often ask a retired pastor, how'd you do it? How'd you get through this? I remember Jack Ewing. Jack Ewing is nearing his 100th birthday very soon. The Reverend Jack Ewing, who served the church faithfully. I remember one time he pulled me aside in my office and he said to me, and I've shared this before actually with you, he pulled me aside and he said, Ken, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Good advice, right? I remember the Reverend Lee Taylor. When I knew Lee Taylor, who passed away just recently, he was the pastor on the other side of town in the tall steeple church. He was the profound preacher of about 1,000 members in that church. And so he preached, you know, and did all this stuff. But when he retired, his wife became my choir director. And so Lee Taylor from the tall steeple church had to go to my church, which was out by the city landfill. He came down from all the architecture with those beautiful pews to my church, which looked like a double-wide trailer out in the middle of a field with hard metal chairs, just like these chairs. And so I witnessed and watched a tall steeple pastor go from giving profound messages to sitting in the pews every Sunday. I watched him struggle with that transition. I learned so much from my friend Lee Taylor. About transitions and change. And then just last week, I called my good friend, Reverend Marge Palmer, who is now in her late 80s, living on the West Coast in a retirement center. And when she said, Ken, I love you, I was reminded that I am still seeking out retired pastors for encouragement and for care when I face a challenge. We all face challenges. Every one of us. But I want us to remember that someone has gone before us. Someone is waiting for our phone call, waiting to talk to us, to encourage us when we face a challenge. By the way, if you haven't faced a challenge, here's a tip. Just keep breathing. Keep getting up in the morning. Keep going about your daily tasks. You will face a challenge. But someone has gone before you. Let us pray. Listen to this passage from Paul's letters to the Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Loving God, as we face challenges as we leave this place today and go out into the world, remind us of Paul's words and some words from 2 Peter. Remind us that we go through those suffering times, those difficult times, and this leads to character, strength. Help us to stay in the challenge and to know that you are with us every step of the way. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this second letter to this congregation in Asia Minor, sometime written at the end of the first century, you get a sense that the author of 2 Peter is concerned that the people are becoming disillusioned. This congregation, the congregation he's writing for a second time, is somehow disillusioned. And we shouldn't be surprised, because over and over again, they have been told that things are going to get better. Over and over again, they've been told by a preacher, a leader, a civic leader, someone in authority, that they are well equipped for the journey ahead. They have everything they need to face every challenge, but now they're not so sure. They have a supportive faith community, just like we do. They have family, they have love, they have food and water. I assume they have shelter and support in this community of faith. They have someone to watch out for them. And most of all, if something unexpectedly terrible happens to them, they have this assurance that Christ will come again to make all things new and to save them. Someone made them a promise. Someone made them a promise. God made them a promise. A leader made them a promise. Someone. But if you think about it, a promise is sometimes all we've got. Someone made a promise to us yesterday, and we assume or believe she will keep it tomorrow. Someone vows to love and to serve and to honor and protect us, and we believe they always will. They made a promise. There is the promise ingrained in me since my childhood that if I just work hard enough, all things are possible. I can achieve unbelievable things. There's the promise that honesty is the best policy, and that's how we should live our lives. A promise kept or a promise made is a promise kept, right? That's what promises are. Everything from keeping a doctor's appointment to making baptismal vows, we make and receive promises. And yet, I think some of these promises are troubling. I'm thinking of this song sung by Jiminy Cricket. This is what pastors do in their time off, by the way. They just go back and listen to old reruns of Jiminy Cricket, who sang this beautiful kind of melodic promise, and I think you all know it. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are, anything your heart desires will come to you. In your heart, if your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. Now, you know, I like that song. I got nothing against Jiminy Cricket. But I have a hunch the people who received this letter had grown tired of that message. Just like sometimes we do. That if we just do enough things or we wish hard enough, it'll all come to us. They were just getting tired of it. Because this dream had not yet happened. Christ had not yet come. God's justice had not come flowing down like a righteous and mighty stream. It hadn't happened. The dream that God would someday lift up the poor and the lowly and bring down the powerful from their thrones was still just that, a dream. Why hadn't Christ come? They had remained faithful. They'd kept the faith. They'd kept the faith and kept the course. There had been some believers along the way that had been burned at the stake, persecuted and flogged for their beliefs, but they remained faithful. Why hadn't Christ come to save them? Have faith. I'm sure they heard some sermons just like some of us have heard. Have faith. Christ is coming. God is coming to clean up things. But the message of patiently waiting for Christ to return and make things right was beginning to sound like a broken record. Surely someone on the way out of church after hearing that sermon mumbled to themselves something like, promises, promises. In seminary, a long time ago, I remember taking an intensive Greek course from Professor Stephen Krafchik, one of my favorite professors in seminary. He's one of my professors who said to me, basically told us all as we were taking Greek, something like, outside my classroom, you're saved by grace. Inside my classroom, you're saved by works. And it was true. In his commentary on 2 Peter, Steve Krafchik writes this. 2 Peter's author attempted to respond to the challenges that arise when beliefs no longer appear tenable, and when societal expectations suggest that they should be abandoned. What a challenge. What a challenge to the human spirit. The challenge to hang on to your faith when everyone and everything is telling you something to the contrary. What a challenge. The challenge to believe that God loves you and cares for you and sustains you when everything and everyone is saying, give it up, abandon it. The challenge to continue to believe despite the naysayers and the cynics. Now that's a challenge. That you somehow, you know, you have that lovely heart, that glass heart in your hand, it looks so smooth, and suddenly someone gives you a rock. You'll go home today from church, you'll say, guess what the pastor gave me? A rock. What a gift. You know, I can almost hear my good friend Jack Ewing pulling me aside in times like that when someone gives me a rock and saying, Ken, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. I can hear the words of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. reminding us that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. I can hear those mentoring pastors in my past, those older retired pastors who went before me, whispering in my ear, Ken, keep the faith. I think they're whispering in all of our ears. They're saying when the things are pointing away and the messengers are pointing you towards cynicism and doubt, run your race. Never stop dreaming of God's new heaven and earth. Do you hear them? Do you hear these voices from the past cheering you on? I think the author of 2 Peter was one of those old retired pastors who had endured many trials, kept the faith, and kept dreaming. And now, near the end of his life, he is passing on to those who will follow. In fact, in chapter 1, he writes, after all, our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I am about to depart from this life, so I am eager for you always to remember these things after my death. He knew he was going on. Just wants to tell them one more thing before he goes. And what did he say to them? Don't let it escape your notice, dear friends, that with the Lord a single day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a single day. God isn't slow to keep promises, as some think of slowness, but God is patient toward you. God is patient toward you. For months and months, it seems, they've been working in our backyard. We know that because sometime in August, the dump trucks began to arrive. Dump trucks with dirt and heavy dirt-moving machines have been back there. Somewhere in August, all the way to now. Even as I was writing this sermon, I was kind of working on this illustration, I could hear air brakes off in the distance as another dump truck came down to deliver dirt or to haul it away. They tell us they've been building a biofilter, enormous biofilter. To Heather and I, though, it looks like they're preparing for the apocalypse. Like, this is just an enormous biofilter. And I know it's good for the environment. I know it's good for the water table and the purity of water. It's good for all of creation, but it's been going on and on and on. But on Friday, the noise stopped. I think they were aware the snow was coming. The work is finished. The ground is still dirt and exposed rocks. It kind of looks ugly. But now it's time for us to be patient, to let nature have its course, to repair the land and make it beautiful again. It's coming. It might be in the spring when all that comes back, that life. It's coming. We'll have to wait and see. I think the author of 2 Peter was trying to say the same thing that Heather and I have been experiencing by watching all those dirt movers in our backyard. Sometimes we just have to wait and see. That's what he was telling the people in this congregation in the first century. In essence, he was saying to them, wait and see, hang on to your faith, work for justice, be in the long game toward justice. It may be difficult now, it might be ugly, it might feel like a rock in your hand. But wait to see how things play out. Keep the faith. And remember, in God's timing, a single day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a single day. This ring has been on my finger for almost 32 years. Maybe some of you don't know this. Heather and I were married on Christmas Eve, which was a big mistake for a minister. We're always busy on Christmas Eve. I remember when she gave me this ring. It's a craftsman's ring. It's made of silver. There were hundreds of little tiny indentations. Over 30 years ago, it had all these dents in it. Beautiful. Kind of these wonderfully hammered pieces in here. But over 32 years later, it has become smooth. I could just see shadows of the craftsman's hammer in there. Time has worn this ring just like the rings of many of you. Time and children and growing up and struggle, all those things have come along, and still this ring is on my finger. It's changed. It was something rough, and it's become something smooth. Today, I want to give you and us, all of us, the assurance that God puts on a ring today. And the inscription on God's ring reads, "In sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, I will be with you. I will be with you through the challenge. I will be with you when it gets ugly. I will be with you."